It's Thursday. You know what that means, Warriors. That means it's time for New Dimension Comics Presents the Toddcast. I am John Engel.
And I am Tim the Time Cop Cope. Bringing it to you live. Handsome Tim.
Give me 1 second. Every time I stream this thing, I always forget to mute it on my TV. And it like starts playing and I'm like, I can hear both really loud. So sorry, it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. So anyway,
a lot of stuff to talk about. Yeah.
Oh my God. So much stuff. But firstly, we should talk about the fact that people should like and comment and share and do subscribe. All of the things. Subscribe.
Hit that bell.
Yup. Or the little flag thing, maybe. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, do it. We've had a lot of great feedback. I've had a lot of great feedback in multiple stores from multiple people about the show. So awesome. I want to thank everybody who watches and listens and chimes in and hangs out because we listen, we care, we love you.
We're becoming pros.
Oh my God, people love us. They like us. They really like us. So, all right. Well, while we're doing that, I guess a little bit of housekeeping. Not a lot because we're running toward the end of the year and I don't actually have a couple events set up. But the next one we have is the Fearscape Vendor Fest up in Elwood City. It's actually at the warehouse in concession with the Fearscape Haunted House and Haunted Attractions that are right beside us in the basement of one of the warehouses. So go check that out. It's a scary fun time. And a lot of the vendors are not your traditional vendors that you think of. Like people that are applying are like sword swallowers and fire eaters and like a tarot card reader. It's pretty awesome. So check that out and then come back to the warehouse 2 weeks later for our, secret warehouse sale. There are a lot of books. It is almost as big as the first time we did it, which means it's almost as big as the basement. There is half of it is probably Marvel and DC. And it's kind of chunked. Like it's like there's like a chunk that's, I don't know, 100 boxes long of just Amazing Spider-Man stuff or Spider-Man titles. And then it's the same for Batman and then like X-Men. It's a good time. Like everyone should go check that out. And have a good time digging because I think it'll be a blast. I'm just prepping our books here, so give me 1 second, guys.
Yeah, no problem, because I'm going to send you an image while you're talking about that. The image behind me was done by Ashley Witter, who did Squarriors, and she had an issue with her website where she lost a good bit of her stuff at GoDaddy. And it cost her an arm and a leg to recover everything. So if you like this picture, let me send you over a screenshot that John can put up here in a second. But she has her Halloween black collection and they're really high res prints. And she does signatures and remarks on them and they're fantastic. So go and support her and buy something off of her because her stuff is just awesome. I'll send a picture to John.
Then there it is.
Yeah.
I love
the Rogue and Gambit one.
The Lost Boys one. That's the one I'm digging real hard.
Right? That's the one that's the new one. You can get that one, I believe, just by itself, or you can get the whole bundle of all of these for $150. These are high res prints on awesome paper and she'll do remarks and signatures on them and they do like shop pay payments on those also on the website. So it's ashleywitter.com. I'll put the link in the description below, but check it out, buy something, help her get some of that money back that they stole from her at GoDaddy.
Because GoDaddy is shit.
Yep.
Why did my Epic Games Launcher just randomly start? Weird. I don't know what's going on there, but weird. All right, hold on. Now I got to go all the way back through all of your freaking panels you sent me, because you sent me like a, I think you sent me most of a book today.
Yes, because as I have this here, this was last week's. I have a green Hulk with purple drink in it, and I will be
funny.
Doing an in-depth review of Immortal Hulk 50 that was absolutely amazing.
I've got Megadeth beer.
I don't like beer, but if they made Megadeth drink.
Just like a random Megadeth energy drink or something. Like, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome, actually.
Milligrams of caffeine.
Like enough to make your heart literally explode.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, then I guess I should go first then, so that we can end on your book, because it has a billion panels. So the good part is, this current week didn't actually have a lot of books that came out. And last week had a lot, and we missed last week. So some of our books are from both weeks. So it worked out.
Yeah.
And then also, I guess before we get into this, just so you guys know, you might see a couple of us down at Baltimore Comic Con this weekend. We're going to be walking around, hanging out. So make sure that you guys stop and say hi if you see a Three Rivers Comic Con shirt. Especially if you see this fat mug with a mask over his face, because you got to wear your mask the whole time. Or at the Ringo's, or at the bar across the street. Any of those things. And, totally cool.
And John's going to be hard at work asking all the awesome people to be on our show.
It's true. If there's anyone, if you guys flip through the lineup of who's going to be there, and you really want one of those guys to be on this show or come to our convention or both.
Yeah.
You let me know, and I'll see what I can do about putting a list together for headhunting. Yes, I called it headhunting.
So. Chances are, if they come on our show, they'll come to the con once they see how amazing we are. They're like, if this is the YouTube show that they put on, I can only imagine how amazing the con is.
If and we don't scare them away. Right. Right. If we don't scare them away. Oh, by the way, Sora and Brett say hello. So. To you, Tim, not to the Thursday Warriors.
I saw
Well, they will. But Sora may be making an appearance here shortly for some stuff, but that's all I can say so far. So, all right, let's get into some comics.
That would be amazing.
My first book is The Return of the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Ooh, Halloween.
After like 3 or 4 years of hiatus, this book is finally back out. This book picks up right where it left off, and it just keeps rolling. Like, where we were in the story was, Harvey Kinkle died, and Sabrina brought him back, but didn't realize that she actually brought her dad back. So the idea was that she has to kill someone else, in order to keep him alive. But that's because her dad told her that, not because it's actually Harvey. So you see like actual Satan or Edward Spellman in Kinkle's body, like talking to like a demon and then having sex with the demon and then going to school and having sex with his ex-girlfriend. And one of the ex-girlfriends, like, what's going on with you and Spellman? He's like, oh, our situation's changing. That's all I'm going to say. It is Robert Hack art kicking its ass everywhere. It's beautiful. I love his work. It works out. Like, I'm just so glad this book is back. Like, it's not even funny. And then there's also
such a great style.
Yeah. And if you like the TV show, there's one going to be called the occult something. Hold on, it's in the back.
Pencil.
Oh, that's Cobra Kai. The Occult World of Sabrina, which is going to be a continuation of the TV show, which I don't know how they're going to work because she's technically dead. in the TV show. But she is going to be on Riverdale. So,
oh, I don't know. I didn't even know that was still on.
It starts, I think, next week, and it's 6 episodes. And I think this is, I don't think this is the, I don't know if this is the final season, but it's definitely close. I'll check while you do your book.
It could be the end of a lot of CW shows after the bombshell Ruby Rose dropped the other day.
Well, there's some dude that came out that said he worked on there that backed the Warner Brothers side. So I think somewhere in the middle knows? Is the truth. And that's just my opinion. But
I'm sure she's a little hurt because of how her injury and everything that happened, you know, so that probably makes her a little more sour. But yeah, I believe you're probably right. Probably down the middle somewhere.
All right. Boom.
Superman, son of Kal-El. I'm super. I enjoy this book.
Kal-El.
A lot.
Son of Kal-El.
Kal-El.
Son of Kal-El.
Tom Taylor, great writer. And who's the artist? I have Tim's, John Tim's. Is the artist. Well, he's the artist for 1 through 3, and then they put his name on the top, and then he's not the artist in issue 4, which if you're doing a 5-issue miniseries, I don't see why you can't have the same artist do all 5 issues. I just don't understand. It drives me nuts when they switch artists in the middle of a storyline, but whatever. And then they also have colors by Gabe L. Taib, who will no longer be working with Marvel, if you haven't heard, because he joined the Poopy Comicscape people. And DC put out that statement that said they will be blacklisting anybody that associates themselves with Comicscape. So he will no longer be working for them. But as far as the book goes, this is it's a cool book. I didn't know. A lot of this centers around the reason that it's called Superman, Son of Kal-El, is because Jonathan Kent is going to be the new Superman. I don't know if that's for the foreseeable future or what, but Superman is leaving Earth for a while because people in space need him. And his son is going to be
like the Earth Superman. Similar to like, I feel I'm getting a Batman Inc. vibe. Like,
yes, it very much is. That except not a whole core of, you know, Batman guys. It's not like several Superman, like whereas Batman funded a couple different characters in the Batman universe.
It's not multiversity.
Yeah, correct. Okay. But the issue starts out with they were I guess I should set this up because I don't know who read the first three. Jonathan Kent ends up in, he's going to college, and he meets this guy who runs this podcast called The Truth. And they're trying to help people all over the world. And there's this terrible, terrible dictator dude in another country. His name's Henry Bendix, and he is the president of Gamora. But with 2 A's on the end, or Gamora.
Gamora.
And Superman, Jonathan Kent, saved all of these refugees and brought them to Metropolis. And the police were like, no, we got to arrest these. They're not allowed to be here. They came in like the wrong way. And he goes, then you're going to have to arrest me too. And they're like, well, we can't because, and he's like, why? Because I'm Superman's son? Is that why? And they're like, well, yeah. And he goes, put the cuffs on me. So he gets arrested. His dad breaks him out after about 45 minutes. And this picks up right when they're having dinner on the farm with Ma and Pa Kent, who I had no clue were alive. And I had to look up and see how they were alive. And there was that one shot that was called Superman Villains. And apparently that's where they came back into the fold. And it was something to do with a tie-in with Doomsday Clock when Dr. Manhattan had that heart-to-heart with Superman. And they kind of merged those universes, I guess, together.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So the the Kal-El in this universe is not the one from the original Rebirth run then?
No, this is the Rebirth. They're calling it Son of Kal-El, so this is Jonathan Kent.
But what I'm saying
Superman
is
that Rebirth Superman.
That Clark and Lois, though, were not using the last name Kent because they didn't want people to know they were back. So, yes. And I was pretty positive Ma and Pa Kent were dead. But,
well, then they were. And then when Superman came out and revealed his identity to the world, that's when.
Oh, right.
That's when that changed.
Right.
Yeah. So Bendis, he revealed who he was. Yep. And I guess during that Superman villains one shot, they explained how something in the Doomsday Clock storyline ended up bringing back his parents or something. Okay. So they're having dinner, and this Bendix dude, who sounds like Bendis, ends up throwing a powered person at the farm, whose power is basically like gravity. And the powered person, they call them post-humans, which I think is weird. Okay. So it went from metahumans to post-humans. He saves them. This was a screen of the John Timms art, and I wanted you to see this compared to the other art and why it bums me out so much. Basically, what happens in this issue is Jonathan Kent finds out that the guy that he met at college is also a post-human and is using his powers with other people to try and use this podcast, The Truth, or radio station, The Truth, to save people. And he wants Superboy or Superman to join them. Superman takes all this evidence to Lois, and he's like, hey man, Mom, like, check this out, like, they look at all this research. And she's like, wow, this is pretty impressive, like, they got a lot of research in this. And he's like, I think I'm gonna go to that country and talk to them, and I'm gonna talk to that president. She's like, you can't just go and like beat up the president of another country. He's like, well, you know, I'm Superman, so I kind of can. And he's like, but I'm just gonna go to talk. She's like, just be careful. So he flies over, and the president's standing there waiting. And he's like, they told me you were coming, but I didn't think you were stupid enough to come. And he asks him several questions, and the president lies, and Superman reveals, he's like, you know, I'm reading your heart rate and everything. He's like, I got all the answers I need, and he left. And then the issue ends. So it's been a fun story. It's kind of making me wish it would go beyond 5 issues, but maybe this is just, if Superman's going to be gone for a while, maybe this is just the setup for a long-term thing. It also has the feel of, if I remember correctly, when they were talking about like the 5G event of all the young heroes taking the place of the superheroes.
Yeah.
I thought they had canceled that, but now it's starting to feel like, when you look at these other titles, because they have I Am Batman, who is going to maybe be taking Batman's place. And then you've got this other Wonder Woman. And now you've got Superman being replaced by his son. And then Aqualad has his book. So it's starting to feel like maybe they are going to go that direction and replace the mainstream heroes for a while with the younger versions.
Or we might see them become like, they might be the Justice League, and then we just might get independent issues from the other stuff.
Maybe, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Because they kind of did that pre-52, where like the Titans kind of became the Justice League for a while. Which was awesome. So
do the Young Justice League, like Young Avengers, just Young Justice League, YJO. Right.
So you sent me another. So this is one out of this book. Right.
So this first screenshot is from the first issue.
Okay.
The next screenshot is from the current issue.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is what bums me out, because you got a good story, and then 4 issues out of 5 and you're going to jump to this kind of artwork and coloring. And it's not that it's terrible, but it's not super great. The eyes look really awkward. It's very anime-ish, you know?
The art's actually not that much different. It's mostly the coloring that kind of is jarringly different because it's a lot more dull.
Yeah.
So, meh.
But I mean, it's good. So if you, and the next issue is going to be the big one that people are talking about, because that's the Kiss issue. So that'll be great. And I think that's great for DC for doing that, and for comics, and for people that want to have a big superhero. Don't just give me like some small hero that's, you know, gay or bisexual that I can relate to. Give me a mainstream hero. So I think that's great that they'll have somebody that they can be like, that's my character right there, you know?
Yeah. I had somebody that was kind of like, I guess, annoyed that they were doing that. And I said, so what happens if they do this one arc where you just find out that he's bisexual, and then they don't do anything else with it at all? Like, he never dates anyone at all ever again. Does it really matter at that point? And he's like, well, and I'm like, you're an idiot.
It really doesn't matter anyways, because I had
people like, saying, comics are for everybody. They're not always for you, though.
Not every book is for that one person.
Right. And comics are for everybody, but they're not always for you. That's the best way to think of it. So,
and I had somebody go, I just want to know about, like, I want to see them saving people, and like, I don't care about the romance. I'm like, no, you don't care about the romance now because it's not your kind of romance. But Peter Parker married MJ, and Lois married Superman, and nobody ever had a problem with any of those, you know? There was literally a book called Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane. Mm-hmm. There was a book called Love and Romance, you know?
Yeah.
So, but nobody had a problem with that. So I'm glad they're doing it. Good for DC for finally, you know, making the changes and catching up. And
well, I mean, they've been like that for a while. Like, you know, Batwoman had her own title for many years.
Yeah. It seemed like they were fighting internally, like that not everybody was on board.
Well, not everybody was on board with the wedding part, but they were fine with the fact that she was a lesbian. And then there was like the Authority and Apollo and Midnighter had their own book that went a couple years. So the DC has done good strides, not quite as many as Marvel, but they've done good strides. I just like it when, you know, like, people just write what they want to write, and it comes out. And you know,
if you don't, you don't. Pick another book.
It's almost more like the same exact principle as a Comicscape person, because their whole thing is always, I just want to work on what I want to work on. Yeah. And it's like, but if comics are forever, like, so sure, these guys want to work on this, so why are you going to give them crap about this? It's, no, you want to work on your specific agenda, which is different.
Yeah.
So it's it's just dumb.
I guarantee you nobody put him up to this. Yeah. He probably pitched it himself, knowing Tom Taylor. He is a great writer, and kudos to him for doing that. So
my favorite thing I saw, and this will be the last thing we talk about with this, so we can keep moving. Somebody had shared some screenshot where some guy was complaining about the Superboy thing, and then was like, I'm just going to read really good books like Nightwing. And I'm just like, the book that Tom Taylor's also writing, whatever. Moving on. Getting off the political pedestal, because we need to keep moving. All right.
Yeah.
My second book is Second Coming, Only Begotten Son, number 6. So talk about, like, this was like 2 weeks of books that finished off run, or like kicked back on runs for me, that have been missing for literally years. Sabrina was like 3 or 4 years. This book was 2. And it's the final issue of the story arc. So to catch you up, the whole idea of the second volume is that while Jesus was back on earth from the first volume, his followers started doing their thing again, but they still didn't understand anything he was actually saying. They just would always take it way out of context. It'd be real terrible. So this book starts out with like this rabbi and two other, I guess it's a bunch of rabbis, like being like, this oven sucks because it was built with sand. So all the bread that is baked in it tastes like ass. And they're like, and the one rabbi, well, it might just be a shitty oven, but nowhere in the Torah is it supposed to be say that you're supposed to, the use of sand is forbidden. So how is it impure? So then he keeps being like, if it's impure, like we should get a sign. This tree should give us a sign. And then like a tree blows up. And then it's like, this goat should give us a sign. And the goat flies into the sky. And then it's like, this building should give us a sign. And the whole building crumbles around him. And then we'll get back to that. So then we see Jesus and God walking through heaven. And like, you know, he's trying to tell him, like, you know, the first time I went down there, they still kind of screwed it up. And now they're really screwing it up. And God talks about how, you know, I get it. I went down there one time after you were, after you came back. And I went down there one time to kind of mess with or to see what's going on. And it was that same situation. And eventually that one rabbi was like, and God should just tell us. And he's like, yeah, that oven's pretty shitty. And they're like, whoa, it's God. And then the Superman character, what's his name? Sun something. He ends up going to talk to basically like a dictator, and the dictator gives him like tries to basically use kryptonite on him, and it doesn't work. So as he's trying to fly this criminal back to the U.S., his wife calls and is like, dude, we're having the baby right now. And he's like, I have this guy that I can't really just drop off in the middle of the ocean. She's like, get your ass here now. As in a very Lois Lane type style thing. So you kind of see that like you kind of see God and Jesus kind of be more together, like they actually kind of start seeing eye to eye, which they didn't in the beginning of the book, which is the whole reason that this book exists, is like God wants Jesus to be worshipped more like a god, like Superman, like the Superman yeah. character is. So he gives them to him as a like stepson and learn from the guy to be popular like that. And it goes into this really hilarious thing. Then there's like a weird side story where these two older people are in heaven, and they're just sitting on a bench talking about what there is to do in heaven. And this old guy's like, I don't really like to do anything because like I really wanted to get to heaven. And now that I'm here, they just keep giving me these tickets, and they're Ramones tickets because most of the Ramones are dead. Or at least mostly original Ramones are dead.
Yeah.
So the super couple has a baby, and Jesus tells his followers to, you know, the guy says to him, we're so glad you came back, Lord. Jesus says, well, our work is not done yet. As you go onto the into the world, you may not always get it right. So if you stand for anything, let it be this, that mistakes are not final. We may never arrive at our own destination, but that does not mean we cannot make progress. And I thought that was a really good ending for this book. I think there is a third volume coming, but Ahoy, it was weird because like it was an Ahoy book, and for a while they were, oh, we're going to go to this other distributor. And then like nobody could find any of their shit for like a year.
Yeah.
And now they're back. So it's good. It's good. I dig it. All right. Your second book.
Make this one quick since I'll probably talk a lot about Hulk. So at the end of issue 2, Magneto says, I killed Scarlet Witch. And then she's like, oh, but I'm here. And she comes out from like the bushes. Mystique's like, oh, this should be interesting. And she kind of fades away. And Vision's like, what's going on? And she gives him a big kiss. And that's where this one picks up. And he's like, this is so weird. Like, I just got you back, but like, I just buried my other wife. And she's like, other wife? And she doesn't know what's going on. And they're like, what happened to you? Where were you? And she's like, I don't know. And they're doing the whole like, Scarlet Witch is back, but guess what? Her memory's gone again. And that part kind of drives me nuts a little bit. I'm going to see it out and see, because I feel like there's definitely some Charles Xavier like head games going on here for all three issues, because things are very inconsistent and it just seems too consistently inconsistent to be an error in the consistent writing. Yeah. So she meets her kids and she's like, I have no clue who you are. Rachel Summers, Jean Grey, they kind of probe her mind and they're like, yeah, it looks like she's resurrected. Like, this was a resurrected version, but I thought we said in the protocols, like, we wouldn't resurrect her. Somebody did. How do we get her up to speed? Okay, I'll give her the talking points real quick. That's the next panel, I think, where they just like, hey, here's like House of M, and here's all, you know, when you were a dark Scarlet Witch, and you know, all these different things. And she's like, whoa, this is crazy, like, this happened. And then she's caught up, and she ends up, there's a really weird page where it pops up and it says to turn the wheel, and it looked like it was an advertisement. And then you turn the page and all of a sudden the Scarlet Witch is in this other, it's a mind verse or something. And somebody approaches her and is talking to her about who she is. And they're being very cryptic about everything. And she grabs this axe and she goes, oh, I think I get it now. I'm supposed to kill you. That person dodges this axe and then goes, I think you get it now, and then pulls the hood back to reveal who it is. Pick up issue 3. Not going to tell you, but that's the first time. You should totally
text me who that is, because I am probably not going to read that.
But. Okay. It was the first time that I was interested in this series, because it's been so weird and paced very oddly that it's just like throwing me off every time I read it. And this reveal at the end was the first time that I was like, okay, now I'm ready to come back for issue 4. So, hopefully the next two issues keep that going, but yeah. So,
okay. All right. I'm going to wait until you do that.
'Cause you want to know.
I do. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Like, okay. I'm now like, I'm still like, oh, God damn it. I don't know if I want to read this, but now I'm a little more hopeful to read it. But
that's kind of like my feeling on it. So.
All right, my last book is Masters of the Universe Revelation Part 4, which means I have done the entire 4-issue mini run. So this one pretty much like brings you right up to where the TV show starts. It kind of wraps up the backstory stuff. It brings you to that point where Skeletor realizes that Castle Grayskull is just hiding the crystal vault thing, and then King Randor is awakened because Teela basically triggers her Zor heritage and uses magic to wake him up, and that's that same argument section where you see at the beginning of the show where she's like, what do you mean it's Adam, or like the what do you mean you're not going to tell me who he is and blah 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 type fight scene. And then obviously she finds out who he is at the crystal thing, but they go and wipe her memory. But she becomes the man in arms at that point. Like I said, it literally ends right at the very section of the of like where the TV show starts. And I think what we're going to see because of that, I think you're going to see in the TV show, we're going to finally get Sorceress Teela in the TV show, which is, you know, something we actually have never truly seen, because we saw it on the 2000s, I think, TV show. Right there, that version, I think, came on it for like a couple episodes toward the end.
Yeah.
But we've never actually seen her be the sorceress, but she's apparently not going to be Snake Man sorceress. She's going to be Zor with the Falcon.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that, because that new version is voiced by Sarah Michelle Gellar. So it just makes me very excited.
Yeah.
In all kinds of ways. But I dig it. It was really good. It definitely led up to the show. It kind of helped set, like, if this whole book would have came out before the show, it probably would have set the tone for the show better. So people would,
so there, people weren't surprised. They would have known what they were getting into.
Yeah. But we got about a month before the second half comes out. So we'll see how good it gets. Yeah. I think it's the 23rd of October, or I'm sorry, of November. And
man, that went quick, because it was July that it came out. Wow.
Yeah. So it's like 5 months.
Yeah.
Yep. So that'll kick then. So also Doctor Who comes out October 31st. Last Whitaker season, 6 episodes, buddy.
So, if it has a bunch of He-Man in the second half, I'm going to complain to all the other people that complained about too much Teela. They're like, there's too much He-Man.
Like, if there's no Teela and it's all He-Man,
yeah,
I'm going to do the same. I'm be like, oh, yeah, they were doing so well with this Teela story. Why would they ruin it?
Yeah. Too much He-Man. It's called Masters of the Universe.
It's not enough He-Man. Prince Adam. It's only He-Man. I just want some more Prince Adam.
Yeah.
If they keep the same amount of evil in, though, I'll be excited. So that was some good times. All right, now I'm gonna let you do, I guess, the next, like, I don't know, rest of the show here.
Wait a second. So I just thought of this. If Prince Adam is He-Man, then He-Man can technically be called He-Man is the artist formerly known as Prince Adam.
Oh. The hero formerly known
as Prince Adam. The hero formerly known as Prince Adam.
Prince Ellipsis Adam.
Adam.
I'm going to text that to our buddy James while you talk about this book, because he's going to find that funny. All right.
Okay.
Go for it.
So, Immortal Hulk 50. If you haven't read it, please leave, or don't come yelling to me when I spoil this for you. So this book is the last issue. It was supposed to be longer. Marvel cut the run short, apparently. And this book opens up in 1901 in Ohio, where nothing good happens. No, I'm just kidding. In Ohio in 1901, and there is a man at the door, and you see off in the distance another man with a lantern walking up, being waved in, come into my house. And when he gets in and takes his coat off, it's none other than Robert Banner and Samuel Stearns. They're like great, 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 great grandfathers. And Samuel's like, hey, you know, everybody's, you know, discovering this stuff, and I've been putting my life into this research, and I have discovered something amazing, and it's called gamma. And he's like, whoa, that's crazy. And he's like, hey, have you talked to my wife lately? And he's like, oh, no. Or he said, have you talked, how's your wife doing? He's like, oh, she's doing good. She went away with the kids. So this is waving him in. So he tells him about this this gamma energy. And what's really cool, if you look in the back, you can see the silhouette of the Hulk and of the leader.
That's awesome.
Kind of set like the tone for, you know, the whole history of these two characters. And he's like, this right here is going to make us immortal. And the story jumps around back and forth, but you're getting little bits. The overall story here is that Samuel Stearns killed his wife, or she left him. They're not very clear. It seems like maybe killed his wife, and then slept with Robert Banner's wife because Robert Banner was very cold to his wife and she wanted someone to love. And Robert Banner knew, and he comes over to confront him about it and then kills Samuel Stearns and shoves the gamma down his throat. And that's kind of their story. Where this picks up is the Hulk in the previous issue told Harpy Betty that he has to go get Bruce. He left Bruce in hell. So this is the below. The green cloud dude kind of in the back is the one below all. And he has kind of been taken over by the leader who has built this just crazy fortress. And they're like, yeah, looks like this is probably where we have to go. They get up to the door and they're trying to pound in. They can't, Red Hulk can't get in. The two identities here right now.
This is
a persona. This is all in like their mind, basically. These are different personas of the Hulk. So this is a young, childish Green Hulk. And then you have this reporter, Jackie, who has gamma powers from the beginning of the series, who makes the journey. She wants to see it through. And then the Red Hulk is actually Joe Fixit, which is kind of interesting. He's Red Hulk, but he has like the Joe Fixit like personality to him, which is kind of what I got. So he can't break through the door. Green Hulk comes up. He breaks in. He falls through. The door closes. And it turns out that they're like, yeah, this is probably a trap. Because if I couldn't get in, but Green Hulk, who's being a baby, and let's stay on this panel for a second. If Green Hulk can get in, this is probably a trap. So Green Hulk gets in, doors closed. He comes face to face with Jor-El-a, who was his old love from way back in like the 200s. And when it was, I forget who did the run, but it was one of the other famous runs where Hulk went to the Microverse. They wanted to see how that went. So he's confronted with her, but none of these people that they're all hollow shells of themselves. They have no eyes and they're all hollow. And he's kind of following her around. Red Hulk's on the outside. He's trying to bust in. And in the next panel, he breaks through. And when the Red Hulk breaks through, he comes face to face with Mike Berengetti, who was the guy that gave him the name Joe Fixit. So this was the guy when Joe Fixit was in Las Vegas that hired Joe Fixit and was kind of like a dad to him. And he said, hey, at one point, you're messing everything up because you're so big and you're kind of an oaf and I appreciate you protecting me and stuff, but I need you to go. And Joe Fixit leaves him, but it leaves Berengetti unprotected and he ends up dead. He ends up getting killed by his enemies. So now you've got Green Hulk and Red Hulk are climbing the stairs, but Green Hulk kind of has a little lead on the Red Hulk. When they finally catch up to him, the leader is at the top and he has Green Hulk attached to him and he's controlling Green Hulk through these tentacles that are kind of like attached to him. And he's making Green Hulk beat the absolute crap out of Red Hulk, which is saying something because this Hulk is more childish and weak. And at this point, you have this Jackie who comes face to face with her father and her power is she can see through gamma people and she can see when there's gamma in people. And he's like, you know, you're an amazing reporter. And he's like, she's like, I don't know where I fit into all this. And he's like, you're a reporter. He's like, you see things that nobody else sees. You can see through things. And she goes, yeah, that's right. I can see things. And she looks up at the leader and these gamma blasts just come out of her eyes and pierce through the leader's skull. And it exposes the heart, which is funny that the leader's heart is in his brain. It kind of makes sense for that character, for how much he loves how smart he is. Mm-hmm. And the two Hulks grab the heart, smash it down on the ground, and it's Samuel Stearns comes out. He no longer has any gamma powers whatsoever. Jackie is sensing that. And now the last step is to find Bruce. And they're looking up at the one below all, and they're like, who are you? And the Hulk says, you know, why is there Hulk? I want to know why I'm here. Who am I? And you can see Bruce there is still attached to the one below all. And then also to the Devil Hulk that's dead. You find out, this is the great revelation. He speaks to him in kind of some riddles. He's never very like clear on things. He's clear to a point, but I think it's almost like they don't want to say too much that way. If they want to come back and use this in some sense and twist it, they didn't define it fully. And you find out that the one below all is controlled by the one above all, who is essentially God. And he shows his face, and Red Hulk climbs up and he's yelling at him. He's kind of like, this is BS. He rips Banner down from where he's attached to the one below all, and the one above all reveals himself. And essentially what he tells the Hulks and Bruce is that you're here, you're my child, and you're here because you're the counterweight. A left hand that is justice needs a right hand that's mercy. For every good, there needs to be an evil and vice versa. And I'm the good, and you are a direct descendant. Basically, you are an entity of me. So you find out that the Hulk is an opposite reaction entity of the one above all, who is just, like I said, essentially God. And you're like, this is insane.
So you're saying the Hulk's the devil?
He's not the devil, but he's, so, you know, the one above all talks about how when he builds things and things go wrong or things don't go right, that there has to be this destruction. And this destruction is what is needed so that the one above all can rebuild it and reshape it. But he can't do that if there's not a destruction. So he's just a tool for the Hulk is just a tool for the one above all, essentially. The crazy thing that comes out of this is that you find out that all of these different versions of the Hulk, Red Hulk, Immortal Hulk, you know, Green Hulk, Devil Hulk, Joe Fix-It, all these personas, they're all there and they're all able to be used. It is however Bruce wants to use them, basically. The way they got in here, by the way, is they used the Forever Gate that the Fantastic Four had to jump back into the, it's a gate that'll take you anywhere you want to. So Walter Lankowski and the Thing come back to retrieve them. They go back, and Bruce kind of has like a little conversation. He's monologuing to himself, and he's talking about all the people who live in his mirror, the ones he can see and the ones he doesn't always want to. So the ones that are good for him, that might be the means to an end or the destruction that he needs to have, and maybe the other ones like Devil Hulk or something that he doesn't necessarily want to have around. And he's like, we're all there, and are we good people? And then it kind of goes, well, and then the next panel is, what do you think? And that was the ending. And I thought it was fantastic the way they wrote it. I thought that the idea of Bruce Banner basically having all those different personas and being able to kind of call upon them when he wants, he was almost like this whole experience cleansed him of the loss of control. He now knows what his role is as the Hulk. And now whatever version of the Hulk he wants to be, he can be that version. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of like Banner trapped on the inside and the Hulk out, not wanting to let him in. Mm-hmm. It's going to be kind of a bond and them working together. They're going to be more one than any, you know, at any time that they ever have been. So okay.
It's pretty neat. That's kind of cool.
It's very confusing.
Yeah. That's really, I read it in depth.
Probably three times. So,
well, I have it downstairs. I haven't caught up on it yet. So I'll probably read that tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So, but that was probably the most lengthy review of a single book we have done in a long time.
I know. I'm sorry. So, it's fine. It was like, it's fine. It was such a good book, and it was a huge, like a 50 pager or something. And I'm like, there's so many different things. And there's probably things that you'll read and be like, oh, Tim didn't talk about that. Cause I probably just forgot some of them. There's that much stuff in there. So
it's fine. I mean, you talk about this book a lot when it comes out every time. So yeah. Now I'm just like, what are you going to talk about now? So
yeah,
we'll see. I'm curious to see what's going to fill your void of extreme excitement. Some of those things that may be that have come out of New York Comic Con are, you know, Saga coming back. You know,
yep.
That's huge freaking news.
Yeah, that's huge. January next year, issue 45.
Yep. Real excited. Yeah. So, all right. So we should talk about Three Rivers real quick.
Yeah, and I just want to point out, because you told me I did a really good job last week of or the last time of not doing all Marvel stuff, which I was really happy about too. I was going to review this, and I'll just say read it because it was fun and the artwork's great because it's the guy from
Paper Girls.
He did the Wonder Woman run and Paper Wonder Girls. Woman.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. I was like, oh crap, I didn't do Hulk. We got to talk about Hulk, so that's why I didn't go over that one. Yeah,
I would have done Cap. But there's no
time. I'm sorry.
Anyway, no, it's fine. okay. I'm debating taking that Catwoman to Baltimore this weekend to see if I run into Cliff, have him sign it. But
take two, and then I'll just swap mine back.
I'll see.
I'd love. Okay.
Anyway, so we had our Three Rivers Light last weekend.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody even remotely involved. So like obviously you would be that because we were pitching it on here and you work at the waterfront. Yeah, I know you were pitching it there, and everybody that worked at the waterfront killed it. All the volunteer staff we had, Justin and Tim, who showed up and Rachel and Bryant, who showed up as volunteer staff, and then Scott and Justin on the team, as well as Todd and Amanda. And then literally every artist and vendor and creator that showed up, Mike Gilbert for coming out. That was awesome. Everybody, it was great. The food trucks worked, the breweries worked. I don't actually think the breweries really brought in extra people. I just think they added more to like the idea of like concessions, right?
Yeah.
At least that was kind of how I felt. But obviously Saturday we had a little bit of rain and everybody kind of had to wait a little bit to show up really. But I feel like 2 o'clock it ran pretty well.
They plowed into the store until about 2.
Yeah.
And then it kind of died at 2 and everybody went over to the show.
Yeah.
And we did like our entire business day's worth of business from 11 to 2. So
yeah. And then it picked back up and was busy till about 7. So that was good. And then Sunday was pretty much the Sunday we had in May, except it was cold. I just want to thank everybody that came out. That was so cool. It's always good to do that. And we're very excited about getting the June 4th and 5th show rolling. If you want to apply for that, you can do that at 3riverscomiccon.com if you're an artist or vendor. Or if you want tickets, you can also get them on there as well. Also, thank you everybody that came out to Cosplay Karaoke last weekend. We had a blast. You can watch the entire show in its entirety, start to finish, on our Facebook for Three Rivers Comic Con.
Oh, wow.
Check that out. All right. So... really,
thanks to Don Simpson for giving me that umbrella too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So especially the taper on the handle. Yeah. It's good times. Yeah. So technically right now, and this is probably why we have lower viewership, because I bet a lot of people are doing this right now. So it's 6 p.m. today. The new Dune movie hit HBO and it also hit theaters.
Oh, is that today?
Yeah, 6 p.m. today, which means after this, I'm going to watch Dune. I watched the classic one this morning because it was my day off. And I'm just like, oh, man, this is really, oh, man, it's so, there's so much that goes on,
yeah,
you know, in it. And it's the original was David Finch, who, if you like Twin Peaks, it does have a Twin Peaks vibe to it, which was great. And then it was so, like, what was the thing? Like, the new guy that's directing the new one, he did some other movie that David Finch also did a version of. Like, I forget what it was. I was reading it on in the trivia of IMDb today while I was going over everything. But
I know they said that this is a lesson for people, especially for binge people, in delayed payoff, because this is going to be kind of like Lord of the Rings 1, where they end at the top of the mountain. You know, you watch Lord of the Rings 1 through 3, great. But when you first saw the first one and it ended there, and you're just kind of like, what, you know? So I guess that's kind of how this goes, but I'm going to check it out and see how it goes. I know my brother's father-in-law is always like, hey, Tim, you ever heard of this Dune? There's a Dune. You ever watched Dune?
Is he like before? From West Virginia? Like, what?
He's from Texas.
Oh, even better. So,
yeah. And I'm like, no, I never watched it. Oh, man. I love Dune. And it's like, that's his level of excitement. I love Dune so much. I'm super excited about Dune.
I have a lot of friends who have read the books and are very excited about it. I've never read the books, but like I said, I saw the classic movie. I'd seen it years ago. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And you know what? It still was awkward. I think I liked it better now than I did then, though. But like rewatching it, then I'm like, I watched the trailer for the new one, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why their eyes are blue. And that's what that weird shield looking thing is. Like, the shield looking thing in the classic one was real blocky and kind of awkward. But this one is supposed to follow the book a little closer. So they're not going to have like you're not supposed to have like the voice modulator weapons. Cause that was like in the original book, it was more of like almost like a Kung Fu martial arts style. That could break the rocks and do all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then the end of the first one, he makes it rain on their planet, like literally makes it rain, not just.
Yeah.
Apparently that was a change from the book too, that I never saw, but there were 3 or 4 books. And then the comic House Atreides, had come out last summer as a prequel based on the House Atreides book, which like sets up a lot of crazy shit actually that goes into this. Like, if you I kind of went down a bit of a rabbit hole, and like it showed like family trees and how they were connected and stuff, and oh man, it was crazy.
That's some Hickman stuff there.
It was kind of and like, so this movie came out in what, 81, 83, 83.
Well, that was the second version. Was there a version before that?
No, I think this was the first
version.
I
thought there was 2 other versions.
Well, there's a TV show version that came out in like the 2000s. On Sci-Fi that did regular Dune for the first season, and then it did Messiah and whatever the third book was together as the second season. So, I forgot what I was going to say now. Fuck. Anyway, I'm just really excited about it. This is what I meant. So watching it, I'm like, man, this really has like a Star Wars Highlander 1 vibe to it. Like, yeah, like almost like a, it could have been a John Carter of Mars thing, but like, I'm like, I think they use that same worm as the worm in like Empire Strikes Back. Like, I'm pretty sure that sandworm is the same worm that we see here. But anyway, we're going to give a full review next week because I'm pretty pumped to see it. I know you were really excited next week. Don't forget, we got a bonus show next week. Bonus Halloween show.
Yeah, we got Rory McConville, who is the co-writer of Time Before Time, is going to be on Sunday at 2 p.m. All the way from London. So I'm sure when we're done, Ron will probably plan his next trip, and it'll be to 9 London.
9 a.m. for him, right?
And he'll go, Ron will go to London, have beer with him.
Have him sign the same book.
He said, I told Ron, I was like, I'm going to try and talk to John. Maybe we can get Declan. And I said, we got to look at ticket prices. He goes, if he comes over, he can stay at my house. I was like, Ron, if he's staying at your house, we're having a sleepover.
I'm pretty sure he'd much rather just stay at the hotel because it's not so far and he can check
out. Well, if he doesn't want to, you can come too, and it'd just be four grown men in sleeping bags in Ron's basement. So
I call Thundercat sleeping bag.
Okay. My Little Pony.
Exactly. That's what you get. So
yep.
So it's all right. Ron will have like a, what would Ron have? He'd probably have like a,
his would be an Arrow. I think it would be Arrow.
I think his would be I'm thinking if we're doing 80s things, his would probably be Masters of the Universe. So, and then we'll give Declan, G.I. Joe. Cause I think that, Declan we can
give me American.
We'll give him Transformers. We'll give him Transformers. That'll be
good. Okay. Yeah.
My second favorite would be a Rainbow Bright one, though, just so you know.
I love Rainbow Bright. I don't care who heard that.
Anyone who has a sister and grew up in the 80s knows you are lying if you say you have never watched Rainbow Bright or My Little Pony and for some reason say you didn't like it, because you did. We all know.
They had guy characters. There was like Red Baron and Buddy Blue or whatever his name was. So
yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed them. Whatever.
There was, we're gonna do our full review of My Little Pony. Or of Rainbow Bright.
Oh dude, we should totally do that. We should find like the 80s My Little Pony movie or the Care Bears Cousins movie, like the one where they find the
one with the giant spider. My Little Pony one, the giant spider. Watch it and we can review
or the Rainbow Bright movie where she has like the rocket horse, you know? Yeah, that was
Care
awesome.
Bear Cousins one was amazing.
Dude,
we got that song. It was so like good. Care a lot. We care a lot.
We care a lot.
Yeah. They found a way to take like the Care Bear stare and they just made it like so epic at that one point. It was like, whoa. It was like the Transformers treatment to Care Bear stare, the Transformers movie.
Well, like, so it was Care Bear stare and then the Cousins. What did they do? It was
Roar?
It wasn't stare.
Was it Roar?
I don't think so. It was,
let me see.
It was like Care Bear Stare and then Cousins.
Care Bear Cousins. The hell? Come on.
I don't think it was Roar.
No, I can't find it. Oh, well.
Hold on, I'll Google it real quick.
While you're doing that, if nobody saw it, the Cowboy Bebop trailer dropped also, and it was freaking awesome. So there's some concerns for some characters that are missing, but maybe they're going to try and stretch this out over several seasons. But overall, like, it looked really, really cool. So if you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. So.
Oh, the Cousins Call.
Okay. Yeah.
the cousin's call, the Care Bear stare, and the cousin's call.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Sweet.
I love it. Love it. 80s cartoons. Love it. Love it. So.
Nice.
All right. Cool. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Remember, guys, like and subscribe.
Hit the bell. Get some reminders.
Make
almost hit 100.
Yep. We're getting close. Where are we at today? I can't remember.
85, last I saw.
Woo! Woo! Let's try to get 100 by the end of the year.
I think we could get, I think we can do it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too. It'll be a fun time. Let's do it.
Let's yeah.
do it.
We'll, you can do it.
We will Care Bear, we will cousins call to
yes.
get everybody to do it. So, all right, guys, thanks so much. Enjoy Dune. We'll talk about it next week, and we will see everybody next Thursday at 8 o'clock for more dumb fun. Have a good one.